Bibles, if you would, turn to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Luke, chapter 10. Luke, chapter 10. We're starting at verse 38. Illustration is we love everybody. I mean, everybody's your neighbor. doesn't matter. And here, the account crosses the lines of ethnicity, and these Samaritans were not Jews, and they weren't Gentiles, but they were Jews, and they were Gentiles. I mean, they were... Last time I used this, I said, call them half-breeds, and my wife looked at me like, you can't call people half-breeds. But they were neither Jew nor Gentile, yet they were both. And so here you have this man it's a parable. So this man he's on a journey, and he's going between Jerusalem and Jericho, and he falls among thieves. And so he gets beaten up pretty bad. He's half dead, which is kind of a funny statement to me. How are you half dead? I don't know, but he's beat up pretty bad. And they've taken everything from him. They've taken his clothes. They've taken, you know, obviously half of his health, half of his strength. And he's laying there, and it gives the indication that had somebody not come by, this man would have died. Right there. A few months ago, I mentioned the story of a friend of mine, that guy who prayed for his family, and for his family to get saved and whatnot, and his grandson was in a car accident. And overnight, and sometime between like 4 a.m. and 10 a.m., he ran on the road and totaled his truck and severe head injury, bleeding out, laid there. Someone happened to see skid marks and stopped as he was down on the embankment. They found him, got to the hospital. He was in the hospital for months and months, and he's home now. But the indication was, had somebody not stopped and helped him, he would have taken that truck, Larry, and bled out. And that's how I feel that this story was going. And so Jesus says, well, here's the story. This guy's beaten up. He's pretty bad. He's going to die. And someone doesn't stop. And here comes by. Here's a priest. The priest comes by first. He's a man of the cloth. And so he comes by and he sees this guy. He's all beaten up. And he says, you know what? That's going to be a hard no for me. I'm going to pass by on this. In my Bible reading, I'm in the process of reading through Deuteronomy a second time, and in all fairness, had the Levite gone to this man, he would have been unclean for at least 7 days. Well, he's a priest. He has things to do. He has sacrifices to make. He has obligations. He has religious duty that he has to take care of. Now, we were looking at it from Jesus' perspective, we would say, well, that's no excuse. He should have helped the guy. But he used his I'm a Levite. I can't help him because that will defile me, and it'll get blood on my priestly garments, on my robes, and if I do that, it's a whole list of things I've got to do. I just don't have time. But he passes by. Well, then a Levite comes by, and a Levite was not quite a priest, but they were priests, came from the tribe of Levi, and they had the charge of the temple, the tabernacle, and so he had, you know, religious duties as well. So he comes by, and maybe his religious duties weren't as strict as the priest, but he just like, you know what, I'm just going to be a no for me as well. I'm going to pass by because, after all, I am pretty important. And so he passes by. Then they come to Samaria. I think it's a given that the man who was beat up pretty bad was a Jew. He was an Israelite guy. And so here comes a Samaritan. And they say, boy, well, I don't know. Samaritans weren't liked by Jews. Jews did not like anybody who wasn't full-blooded Jew. You're a dog. But that's what Jesus, the story of Jesus calls a woman the dog. It's like, okay, well, but anyway. So here comes a Samaritan, and there was a likelihood in the context of what's going on here that this man could have said of all the men that we could have justified walking by this beat up Israelite and even a Samaritan. Now, you know what? Y'all don't want us in your country. Y'all don't want us in your temple. Y'all don't want us. Then you can just not have us now. But he doesn't. So this Samaritan man, he gets down. He's no doubt he's a man of some means. He has oil. He has money. He has a way to take care of him. maybe a merchant that's going from between Jerusalem and Jericho, or on this path, this trade path, trade route, and he stops. He inconveniences himself. He takes care of this man who's dying. And I mean, he's pretty in depth. I mean, it's not just, oh, I would stop when I'm busy, or you know what, I care about people, but you know that we have not that. And this also demonstrates the difference between love and charity. I want my wife to tell me she loves me. I like hearing this. But I would rather her show me she loved me than just tell me. Right? And maybe I'm for charity, I don't know, but and that's what Romans 5:8. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we're in his Christ, God was commended, and he's demonstrated. God demonstrated his love for us. If God had simply stayed in heaven and said, I love the people of earth, and never sent his son, how deep would that love be? It's lip service. It wouldn't matter. It's like, that's not anything. And so here, this Samaritan, he demonstrates love, and he takes this guy to the inn, to the hotel. He wraps him up, takes him to the hotel, and then he spots the guy. Here's toothpaste. Here's his tab. Innkeeper, if you spend more on him, then let me know when I come back through. Then I'll pay you. I'll make it up. That's a lot for a complete stranger. You can judge me if you like. I have family that I wouldn't go that far for. Right? I'm just kidding, by the way. I love most of them. Some of them are crazy. Yeah. Some of them, you know what? You probably deserve to die. It's your time to go. But this is a complete stranger. And somebody that would have maybe showed a prejudice toward or against the Samaritan, or his people, or his whatever. And so Jesus says, all right, lawyer, what? You tell me, which of these three was loved his neighbor? Well, of course, one took care of him. Okay. Then Jesus tells this man, go thou. The gist of that parable is we love our neighbor, but we also serve. I don't just love strangers. I knew I was supposed to love strangers. But I need to love you all as well, right? I need to serve. I need to be there. And if I see a brother that I attend church with, or I don't attend church with, and they're beaten up. They're spiritually or emotionally or physically beaten up. I am to do what I can to help them. Right? And Jesus says, his words, the last of that parable was, go thou and likewise. To the lawyer, I think we can, without taking scripture out of context, we can say, you know what, that probably applies to us as well. Teaching of Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go down and do likewise. And so then we get into verse number 38. So Jesus leaves that scene, and he comes and he's there with Mary and Martha, and he comes to Martha's house. Now Jesus just got through teaching about being a servant, has he not? Loving your neighbor. I'm to love my neighbor as myself, and he loves Jesus, right? That's the first one. Well, Lord, thy God, all thy heart, all thy mind. And so here they get to this part of Martha's story, I guess. And it looks really good for verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, they left where this lawyer was, and they're on the road, they're on their journey to the next stop, and as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Verse number 38 is important. read this, it was such an encouragement to me that of the, I'm going to butcher this word, the specificity, the specifics, the specific nature, let's put it that way, of Jesus, of God. There was a certain place in a certain woman that was there, and Jesus says, I'm just like David with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house. This was very specific. I'm at a certain place. I'm going to this certain house. And when the Holy Spirit knocks on my heart's door, whether it's at a church service, whether it's when I read my Bible, whether it's I listen to some gospel music or Christian music or even secular music, and God speaks to my heart, it's intentional. It's intentional. When I feel the Holy Spirit convicting me, it's on purpose. From God to me. Sometimes I take that as, oh, well, Holy Spirit just, happens to be in my neighborhood, and happens to be, maybe I have this struggle, maybe I have this weakness, and he just happened along, and here we are. No, it's specific. When God knocks on my heart, he's there for a reason. He's there on purpose. And at that point, as far as I'm concerned, God doesn't care about anybody else but me. He's knocking on my heart. Now, I mean, God does, but I mean as far as God's dealing directly with me. So Jesus came to this specific place, and in a certain place, he came to this specific house, to this certain house, and here they are. And this woman, it was Martha, and she received him into her house, and that's great. And Martha really draws a lot of ire from preachers and myself included. But man, Martha, later on in the story, Martha, what are you doing? You got it all wrong. But she did receive him into her house. She did say, she did open the door saying, you are welcome here. I don't think we can overlook that. I don't think the past injury that other people have been trying to overlook that. I think it's important to call out. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary. It's always that sister. How many of you had a sister? Oh, bless her. I had two of them. There's always a sister. Abigail wanted a sister for the longest time, and I'm sure she was still like one. Just too bad. Right, Abby? She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Mary was a good girl. She was doing what she was supposed to be doing. You have this dynamic. Verse number 40. But Martha was covered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Mary is building relationship with Jesus. We find verse number 40 that Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was carrying a load. And this prompted a petition to Jesus. This prompted her to ask some questions. And the first thing she asked is, Lord, don't you care about me? Don't you see what I'm doing? And don't you see what she's doing? And I'm here, I am serving all by myself. How many of you here are on the nominating committee? Anybody here? Scared. There's a great day there. I'm Russell. Yeah, speak up on people, don't you?
It's all right.
We had someone come to Sunday, and they, it's like, hey, they pull out a piece of paper. Are y'all going to do this, this, and this again? It's like, I don't know. And Jennifer wasn't there, and they said, well, Jennifer, some of her name on some of this stuff. Wait till she gets here. I'm not paying for her. spent most of our career doing that, and I'm trying not to do that. So, I just ask her. So, after church, he comes over and he says, pulls out the list again, and I said, hey, Jennifer, you stand right there. I said, I can't think of his name now. It's in the back row. And I said, hey, this is his first time. Let's tell him no. See what he does. He's like, you can't tell me no. So he's like, will you do Wednesday night? I was like, no. Oh, well, will you do this? No, I'm not going to do either. Just give more time. Anyway, we did that. But no one wants to be able to nominate me. No one wants to go to somebody else and say, hey, will you do this again next year? Will you commit to 12 months? It can be tough. It can be tricky. And it can be a little bit weird dynamic. And so here, Martha's saying, Lord, don't you care about me? I'm here serving all by myself. And Mary has left me to do that. She doesn't even care. Don't you care, Jesus?
Prayer is generally us talking to God. And
his husband. I think that's the definition of prayer. She's talking to the Son of God, right? She questions his care. She blames somebody else. And then based on those premises, then she asks a request to take care of that. Not for her to draw closer to him. And this is, I'm questioning you, Jesus. Mary's my problem. Now do this for me. She had perfect joy, right? Jesus, others, and herself. And that's not right. But she's like, question you. It's her fault. Now do this for me. Bitter that she. And this is, again, what had Martha cumbered about, or occupied, cumbered means occupied, or too busy or distracted, was not a bad thing. She was serving. Jesus taught us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus had just taught that. He taught us to serve, to be servants. And the whole thing with the Last Supper, when he washed the disciples' feet, he says, go thou and do likewise. It wasn't necessarily to be wash somebody's feet, but it was go serve. Put on the garment of a servant and go minister to someone. And that's what Martha's doing. And she's wearing that servant's robe, and she has that servant's towel draped over her. And no doubt she's like, I don't want to generalize this, but I'm going to use my mom, for example. My grandfather, her dad, was a retired Army. And he came in at the tail end of World War II and up through Korea and whatnot. But he was part of that time, and he wasn't a combat role, but he was a chauffeur for the White House. And everything was that uniform was just, creased right, and gloves were just right, and we have a picture of him in the house when he's in line, and President Truman's coming by, and he's shaking President Truman's hand, and I brought the limousine there, and I'm proud of that, but that's the nature of the man he was, and so his house was immaculate. He would white glove the house. You know what that means? Door casing. White glove the house. And so my mom, that's what she grew up in some of that, and so when that's how she thought the home ought to look. We got four kids. I take the white glove, put it in a drawer, get it out when the kids are gone. Because that's not going to be white gloves while you have kids in the house. That's right. Big time. And so my mom, and we were the pastor's wife, and so people would always come, they were always coming to the house. And I remember when we'd have a guest speaker, a missionary pop in, and they were out, we're going to sit with us. And we were like, the kids were like, oh no. Because we would clean on top of clean on top of clean on top of clean. And so here's Martha, and it's Jesus coming to her house, and maybe she wasn't ready for that. It's just, oh no, put the dishes away here. Oh, let's straighten up real quick. And she's trying to get things tied up because Jesus is at her house. I get that. I get the idea of we don't have time to sit down. We've got to get things ready. The meals back then were not prepared like in a microwave, right? If you want to have a meat dinner, well, someone had to go to the market and get something that was either already prepared, butchered, or you had to go grab something out of the flock and butcher it, and that's a process. It's not hang on while dinner ready in 45 minutes. She's working frantically because the Son of God is at her house. I don't fault her one bit. And she has been instructed as one of the followers of Jesus to be a servant. So that's the background when she comes to Jesus. Hey, can you can you help me out here? Look at verse number 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. I don't know what Jesus' voice, his actual voice, sounded like. But I get very much of a fatherly tone. Not, you better straighten up. I get the Martha. Y'all are careful. We're careful, he's anxious. Thou art careful and troubled about what? What does it say?
Meaningless.
Or you got some anxiety going on. Sometimes there's something that we can pick out, say, oh, that's the problem. Greg, that's the problem. You like to talk too much, Miss Joan, she doesn't like it. We all know. Jesus doesn't address her serving, because her serving wasn't a sin. Busyness means that I'm really being a witness to everybody around me. Busyness means that I'm earning those jewels for my crown. I'm really earning those things. He's going to be pleased with me. There's a time to serve. There's a time to say, yes, I'll take the class again next year. There's a time to say, yes, I'll do this role again. There's a time to say, yes, I'll be glad to, or I'll volunteer before I get back. Larry, he probably should help take care of the ground, couldn't he? A little bit. Taking it and rearranging. And I don't know that that's a good thing, or I don't know. I don't know. wrestling with God. It's like God, we're like in a friendly chess match, and in playing chess, it's yes, I need to know what I'm going to do, but I better try to figure out what my opponent's doing as well, so I know where to move my guys. And it's like God and I are in this chess match, and I'm like, God, why'd you move that? What are you trying to do? And I found myself busy, but careful and troubled about many things. I'm trying to figure it out. As I told our social class before, I am not a person of strong faith. I've got faith in Christ, and I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God. But faith for me is just it's a process. It's an ongoing thing. And so for this, for just to trust God that He knows what He's doing is hard for me. It's just hard for me. God, I want to know. And not to get into my whole life story, but I grew up, we moved around a lot, and so there's a lot of instability. And so I want to know the next move. I want to know what's next. What's the plan? I need to have a plan. I don't do well just running into something. It's okay, let's figure out how we're going to do that. And here, Martha is she's serving, and she gets aggravated because she's working by herself, and Mary is down here on doing nothing. She's just sitting listening to Jesus, and Martha's busy, but as she lashes out at her sister, it's like she's not doing anything. Not helping me. Jesus, don't you care? Help me out. Troubled about many things, Martha. Many things. But this one thing is needful. As he goes on to say in verse number 42, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken. Mary had chosen to give. The Bible doesn't tell us in this passage much about Mary. It could have been that her and Martha shared some of the same anxieties. It could be they shared some of the same worries, some of the same troubled nature, the same thing, I don't know. I want to say that Mary chose. We're all going to face anxieties. We're all going to face troubles. We're all going to have things that trouble us when we're not at church, when we're at home, and life happens. But Mary chose.
Fellowship with Him, or
this entire thing was for me. And I still do. Covered about with so many things. Concerns that we have, concerns about life, concerns about our country, concerns about our families, concerns about the economy, concerns about work. Some of us still work. Some of us are retired, Larry, and we still got every day's not Saturday. We can't just go ride a motorcycle for 200 miles on a whim. After Miss Pinky, we're so tired, we can't do anything else. Go ride a motorcycle for 200 miles. need that. I'll let God tell you if you need that. Does that make sense? Is that?